give praise for who you are in this place, Lord God. God, we welcome you into this building, Lord God. God, we welcome you into our temples this morning, Lord God. We open up ourselves, Lord God, so that you may come in and worship with us, Lord God. God, we ask that you just be in the midst, Lord God. We ask that we can touch the hem of your garment this morning, Lord God. God, we ask that everybody that's on their way, make it here safe, Lord God, to get the word that you have for them this morning, Lord God. God, I ask that you would just welcome your spirit into this place this morning, Lord God. God, we thank you for the things that you have done, the things that you're going to do, the things that you have made manifestation in our lives, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. God, we thank you that life is such as it is right now, Lord God. Even though as delicate as it is in this time, Lord God, we thank you that you've spared our lives, Lord God. And we thank you and we welcome you into this place, into your holy temple, Lord God. And that's not the building this morning. This is our house, Lord God. We welcome you into our spirit this morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell y'all, I'm probably the wrong person to have the mic this morning because I've been so full with what God has for me. And last week, I was doing something and I was giving thanksgiving unto God. And God likes for us to give thanksgiving. But you know, when we're giving thanksgiving unto God, that's for the things that he has done.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, that's for, you know, bringing me here safely, you know, watching over me at night, making sure that my job is still there, taking care of the kids, you know, roof over our head. But he spoke to my spirit and he said, that's good. But you know, I told you in the word that you would always have those things. You would always have a house. You would always have a roof. You would always have a place to stay. Even if it's under my tree, I've prepared a place. Even like he did Jonah in the well, he prepared the well. But when he dropped that in my spirit, the thing that God wants the most and that he said, I made my people to worship me, to praise me. And, you know, when you give praises to God, Psalms 113:3 says that from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, that God is worthy to be praised. And I thought of that, and I thought of the things that we all have been through over this past year and this year. And the other thing that God told me was that the devil cannot stand in praise. He cannot exist in the same place that praise is going up. So I tell you, if you want things to change, praise God. The devil cannot stand where God is being praised. So if you want some things to change in your life, I'm not saying don't give thanks to God, but praise him. He said, I formed you in my image to praise me. So he's wanting your praise. You know how you praise a child when they potty train it? That's the same as God is. He wants you to pat him on his back and give him a praise. And I tell you this too, that when you're giving God the praise that is he's worthy and he's due of, it opens up things that you could have never imagined.
Yes.
You could have never imagined. You know the reason why some things didn't happen when you were in the club? Because you praised God in advance. I mean, just be honest. You praised God before you went. You had a worship and you was going to be on your way to church afterwards. Because you praise God. And God's praise is forever. It's not something that diminishes or goes away. It's forever. Forever. So I tell you, if the devil is on you, your praise is not right. And another thing is that you don't need anybody else to give you a praise. You don't need my wood. You don't need my fire. Because God gave you your own. So I tell you, the devil cannot exist in this place today if everybody that I see has a praise for God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God bless you, Sister Tracy. And let's just do that again. Let's just give God an open praise today. Hallelujah. Come on, we can do better than that. Why don't you come to your feet? This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I want you to just give everyone a wave offering in this sanctuary. We don't walk around and we don't embrace, but we can just give everyone, just give them, and give them a genuine, just a genuine and warm wave. Amen. Something that is sincere. To all of those that are joining us by way of our streaming this morning, we thank God for you, as we do each Sunday that you join us here for our Sunday service worship. Amen. I'm looking at people that I know I spoke with earlier. This is their second service. They're already on number two. Amen. They've already been. Now they're going. And I heard her reference something about when we were in the world. What was it called? Club hopping? Was that what it was? When you go for one and then don't let somebody tell you, oh, they turning up over there. You'll just change your whole agenda. Well, today we need to know that this is a place right now where praise are going up. Hallelujah. And the blessings of the Lord is coming down. I want to give all of my energy to this preach word this morning. I want to declare it. You may be seated in the presence of God. I want to give all of my energy to the preached word of God today. You can probably notice that all of our musicians are not here, but nevertheless, that'll just be that much more less me attempting to give something in song. I'll just move that over and let that be the residuals of preaching. Amen. So I'll put all of that energy that would have gone there and make it let it be applied in the declaring of the word of God. I want you today to, for this Resurrection Sunday, to be very cognizant of what this is all about. We have passed the days of arguing, did Jesus get up on any specific day in our calendar year? We are so beyond that. It is really not very significant when you think about the power of the resurrection as to try to isolate it to any given day. What he did in a moment cannot be placed on some chronos or some clock whereby you could just make it be any length of period of time. It was just that powerful. We couldn't put in a day what Jesus did in a moment. Amen. So when I think about that, it doesn't matter what day we observe, because when we think about the power of this whole thing, this is something that we celebrate every given moment of our lives. Every breathing moment, we celebrate his resurrection. Somebody need to know that the breath that you're taking right now is because of his resurrection. The mobility that you have in your extremities, the raising of your hand, the moving of your feet, in your spine right now is because of his resurrection. Amen. And that's where we want to rest that. I'm going to ask you to come with me to what I call the Gospel of Romans. In no historical account, but certainly in the revelatory expression of God that tells the behind-the-scenes story of Jesus Christ, while our traditional Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell of the historical and the geographical account of Jesus' movement on a daily basis, his lineage, his relatives, who his mom, his dad was, and how far he went and how tired he was and how he wept and who got on the bad end of his divinity. Amen. And we move over into the gospel that tells us about the foundation of our very salvation. Amen. And that is why he walked to the Garden of Gethsemane, why he went to the Mount of Olives, why he was down by the Jordan River. All of that had to do with the making of the salvation that I proclaim. So it's the Gospel of Romans, chapter 4, verse number 13. I will begin reading, and I want you to read along with me, because this is going to be the most important thing that you read for the rest of this year. In the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse number 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through righteousness of faith. Every promise that Abraham received was not because of who he was, but it was because of his righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of all nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness because of his faith. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us. I need you to put your hand right here. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. In a very different way, I want to give a topic right there as I put a pause in that place of verse number 24. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. And I want to tell you something that you probably never paid attention to before. No one saw the resurrection. You may be seated in the presence of God. No one saw the resurrection. I begin by presenting that I never believed, and I'm telling you, this has been quite revealing to me, and it's been astounding in my personal life as I search through the whole issue of hope. I never would believe that so much of my attitude towards life and my ability to achieve holistically would be predicated on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I never ever thought that the prevailing influence of Calvary and the prevailing influence of the gospel that tells the story of Calvary was so great and so influential in my thinking. That understanding that God raised Jesus from the dead is now becoming the standard by which I judge whether or not I can succeed. I'm making this personal. Not only for me to get into heaven, but in realizing the visions and the dreams that I have right here on earth can become so much a reality. Now, when I considered this, and it was a profound thought, and I thought about how much Calvary and the resurrection had to do with my day-to-day life, and then I look back at Calvary, I noticed something. That there is the absence of the account of the moment that Jesus resurrected. I base a lot of my processes. I base a lot of my planning, my determination, my motivation, even my impulses are predicated upon his resurrection. But then when I look, there is the absence of that moment of him getting up. It's especially striking when you contrast that or compare it to how there is so much detail about his crucifixion. I present that for your consideration. Compare the resurrection to the crucifixion. You see in detail the crucifixion. You see the lance. You see the nails. You see the blood and the water. You hear the story of him giving up the ghost. His final sayings are declared every Easter. The seven final sayings from Calvary. So detailed, chronicled. Belief in the crucifixion is a matter of sight. Because there is someone that was there to tell the story. People saw it happen. And when they had come to Calvary, and when they looked up at him and said, "You have saved others." You know the record. People saw it happen. But the resurrection only requires an enlargement of my vision so as to say when someone else saw it and recorded it, it becomes believable. The resurrection was not recorded because there was no one there. So I cannot advance now. When I compare the resurrection to the crucifixion, I cannot place it upon something that was seen. So I have to move over from sight to faith. And believe in what was unseen. I'm going to take my time and then I'm going to speed up. Walk with me. I'm gonna rest that right there. One is easy because somebody saw it. Someone posted it. Someone tweeted it. But when it comes to the resurrection, all we have is just an empty tomb. Folk came to look to see it, but it had already happened. Cried out, "Where have you taken my Lord?" Only thing that was there was an angel that said, "He ain't here. And why are you seeking the living among the dead?" It's like they showed up at the wrong address to find something that had been declared that was supposed to happen. Because based on the crucifixion, I saw him drop his head in the locks of his shoulders. Gave up the ghost. Now, there is a greater purpose of God giving his son than for us to resolve ourselves as defeated and destined to be poverty stricken. Did you hear what I said? There's a greater purpose for God giving his son than for us to be anyone in here broken. No one in here should be experiencing the doom of disaster, because there's a greater purpose for God giving his son, and that purpose was not for you to drop your head and become lost in the melancholy of life. Hope is supposed to be the stimulation. Hope is supposed to be the inspiration. This is what you're reading when I were reading verses 13 through 24. A lot of Abraham's forward progression had to do with his hope. And because Abraham had such insurmountable amounts of hope, he could live every day being inspired, driven to achieve, go to greater levels, progressive levels. And he had made that so practical in his life until when he was 100 years old. This is during the days of ED. Come with me, church. If you don't know, ask somebody. Past the days of Sarah being able to bear children. But because of his hope, he was able to defy all the rules of human biology. Y'all ain't nodding your head like this enough. And when he was 100 years old, because of his hope, it brought him to the doorstep of his promise. And Sarah conceived the seed of promise. Do you see what hope can do? If hope can lead me to the doorstep of receiving the promise, then that means that God has this for me now, newfound divine ability to raise things up from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead is a display of ultimate power. I know you get a lot of sermons, but this is the resurrection today. Power over sin and death. And it's a message to all of us who believe. And we've got to keep that message burning. Because that message says, if God can raise Jesus from the dead, then so can he raise us out of any situation that we're in. It's interesting now, because you see, I'm a gospel preacher, and most of us have grown up in church, and we have heard about the resurrection of Jesus, because the resurrection is the substratum, it's the foundation
by which we rest our salvation on. If there were no resurrection, there could be no salvation. It was not his death that defeated death and the grave, but it was his resurrection that had the writer to write, "O death, where is thy sting?" In order for death to be defeated, death had to first be embraced. If you want something to live, something has to die. Yeah. You're looking for a new you, but the new you can't come because the old you is so prevalent. Every time the new you tries to make its debut, come out center stage, take a bow, here comes that old you. Huh? Did you have to deal with that one this morning? That old you? Did you have to deal with that old you last night? Well, I know you know how to get it all back together and put it in place to present yourself in this church this morning. But I got a news flash. Even if the new you is there and present, look at somebody so that they can know that you're looking at them to tell them that there's still a greater you. And the resurrection being the substratum, the foundation of everything. And even though we know that the resurrection is the basis in which the church was founded, yet still we cannot easily bring the resurrection into the practical aspects of living. That's my message today. How do I bring the resurrection after Easter Sunday, after the eggs, after the meal, the ham, and the family? How do I bring the resurrection into my day-to-day life? The question becomes, what does the resurrection have to do with my everyday life? My buying a car, my opening a business, getting into college, graduating from a university. What does the resurrection have to do with my being healed? What does the resurrection have to do with me having a vision or walking in my purpose? This has to be tantalizing to your spiritual cognition. It has to stir up something inside of you to say, what does the resurrection, I know what it has to do with my getting up again and my spending eternity with him, but what does the resurrection have to do with tomorrow, Monday morning? I hope you ask, and I'm glad you asked, because while I know that believing in the resurrection will get me saved, what does it have to do with the rest of it? And the answer is simple. Are you ready? All of those natural life-living things, buying a car, buying a house, going to college, all of them have elements of challenge. Buying a car can have a mount, a valley experience. Getting your degree, it's a mountaintop goal, but you can have a valley experience. You have to go through something to get to where you want to go. Drive what you want to drive. Live in what you want to live in. Come on, talk back to me. You have to go through something to get those children up with the discipline that you want them to have. They don't just morph into good children. They've got to come home late. You've got to find something in their room. You've got to read something in their phone. You've got to have them stand in your face. Do you have to tell them, I brought you? You put your mother through some stuff. Where you are, you didn't just get there overnight. Now, don't have me start calling you out. I mean, some of y'all realize I know you by name, and while you was checking out, I was checking in. So, I mean, but all of us, no matter where we are right now, we had to go through what is called challenge. Are y'all with me? So now, we have to go through some stuff. But when I reflect back on the gospel by which I stand, I can look at every challenge that I had. Let me talk about Don. When I tell you I had to go through some things, I know my story ain't your story. But there ain't one in here today. I don't care how young you are. You had to go through some stuff. A few years ago, my grandboy is in here today. He had to know what it's like for everybody that he loves to be looking for him. I don't know what was going through his mind, but evidently he was going through some stuff. But while I was looking for him, I could reflect back on the gospel by which I stand. And I can say to that challenge, Lord, my grandboy missing. But if you raised Jesus from, I'm telling y'all, don't mess with me today. If you raise, what does it have to do with it? If he raised his son from the dead, then there is no circumstance. Somebody should have declared no circumstance. That can keep me from getting from God what I need in any hour. Let me tell y'all something. You don't have to back up. No. You don't have to walk away from challenge, because since God raised Jesus from the dead, he can raise me up. And if he can raise me up, he can raise any knucklehead up. He can raise anybody up out of depression. Let me tell you something. Put Zimbalta next to the resurrection. And I'll tell you who will win that race. Put the resurrection next to a couple of Tylenol, Excedrin, PM, Stand Back, Goody Powder. Put the resurrection next to any of these pharmaceuticals. And I tell you, ultimately, you will discover that there is power in the resurrection. Why? Because if God can raise Jesus from the dead, then that means that I don't have to give up on my child. If God can raise Jesus from the dead, I don't have to give up on myself. I need somebody right now to make this real practical. Take a different look at yourself and say, Lord, I may not be what I aspire to be, but based on what this preacher is talking about right now, I'm feeling a little optimistic about things. If there is, and I know there is, because I know he lives. And if you can do that with your son, then you were giving me a spiritual subliminal message that I'm going to do the same thing in your life. Oh, yeah, somebody in here is on their way somewhere. And they are not falling down, but somebody is on their way up. Do y'all hear me? Many of us would say that, yes, I know that believing the resurrection is going to get me safe. But what does it have to do with everything else? And the answer is that the resurrection is the single greatest motivator of hope and faith. Do you hear me? Particularly when you look around at a world that is succumbing to decadence and decay. It doesn't matter what neighborhood you live in, you on your way up. It doesn't matter how bad your circumstances are, you're on your way up. It doesn't matter what you're going through right now, you're on your way up. All you have to do to know right now that you're on your way up is flip that invisible switch. And you flip it from sight to faith. The woman with the issue of blood, somebody say, woman, you've been through that 12 years. She said, oh yeah, I know. Flip the switch and said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Can I use that for a minute? Permit me to digress. She would have had a whole lot more money if she had sought to touch the hem of his garment before she spent everything she had. A lot of money that you want God to give you to better your finances right now, if you had to flip the switch when you were 16 years old, you would need a financial blessing right now because you blowed a lot of the blessing. Come on, somebody, get real comfortable in here. When I look at this now, all I have to do now in my life is just, come on, flip the switch from sight to faith. And when I flip the switch, I'm saying if God can bring Jesus from the grave, when he died everybody's death, if he can pull him up out of the grave, when I flip the switch from sight to faith, then that says that he can pull me out of any mess that I find myself in. I'm feeling it right here. I don't have to take it. Come on, somebody. I can just believe my way out of it. I don't have to succumb to it. All I have to do is just believe my way out of it. I don't have to surrender to whatever it is that's coming my way. All I have to do is just believe my way through it. I got some people in here that have come to me in some dark moments in their life. And there wasn't anything that I could do. I'm not a magician. I don't have any secret sauce. I'm not two sisters from New Orleans. I can't rub no roots. But what I can do is tell you, if you just wait on it and flip that switch from what you see. Did I talk to anybody in here? If you just can just flip from what is presenting itself as negative over to believing that God is about to make a major move in my life. I don't have to believe and give in to inertia. I don't have to be depressed. I can declare with a praise on my lips. If Jesus, who died for everybody that's living, for everybody that ever lived, and for everybody who will ever live, if anybody should have stayed dead, you know who it was? It should have been Jesus. It's because they did everything that they could to make sure that he were dead. Now you see, some folk just do a drive-by. But they didn't do that on our Lord and Savior. They whipped him all night long. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Such a very vicarious death. Such an extreme, ignominious death. Y'all don't hear me. They beat him. They whipped him. They tried him. Y'all don't hear. Not only did they want him to suffer from the wounds that they pressed against him, but they wanted to add injury to insult. They put a robe on him to declare that if you're king, why are you dying like this? Y'all not hearing this? You know what it's like when most folk that you know, they do drive-bys. Yeah, that's what they do. They just do something that they're too afraid to do in your face. So they send somebody else to do their dirty work. Come on, somebody. They send somebody else to assassinate your character, to destroy you. You know how they do it. But they didn't do that to Jesus. They did it with a lot of vigor and vitality. They did it with a lot of energy. How they marched him up Golgotha's hill. Can I preach this morning? Notice how it is that they didn't do you like that. They
just left you for dead.
Nah, but no, we're going to watch this one out.
Uh-huh.
Ask me how long did they stay there. One writer said it was from the third to the ninth hour. And they just stayed there. Sit there and they watched him. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Making sure that he was going to die a terrible death. Mm-hmm. Yes. And you know, when I look at this, I'm reflecting on something now. And I'm thinking about where I am now. I just went back. And I started somewhere in a little town called Moulton Heights. And when I grew up in Moulton Heights, y'all don't understand, everything in Moulton Heights was a sin. Yes. I couldn't wear my hair long. Janet couldn't wear pants to church. And in order to get saved, I had to sit on a special chair called a pew.
Yes, yes.
And while I sat there on that chair, folk had to come around and mourn over me. So they called it the mourner's bench. Mm-hmm. And I had to sit there. And while I'm sitting there all week long, y'all ain't heard this. This is how you used to have to get saved. Mm-hmm. I couldn't roll no tires. I couldn't kick no cans. All I could do was leave the church, go home, and sit down and wait on Jesus. Mm-hmm. I couldn't watch Lassie. Mm-hmm. I couldn't watch Dennis the Menace. Mm-hmm. All I could do was just wait on something to happen. Y'all didn't have to sit on the mourner's bench, so some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Many times, you know what I do. I just sit there waiting on that week to be over. And I was wishing that I could get out and be just a regular old boy. But somewhere between my wishing that this was all over and that Thursday night, that something happened.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord. Yes. Let me tell y'all, between that time, that wishing that I were wishing, it was transformed into visions. And God said, I'm going to let you get up again. But right now, I need you right here. So while somebody here is wishing that you had a better job, stay there. Because something is about to happen. Those of you that are driving a car, I got a witness in here already. That rolls up one hill, barely makes it down another. Just keep on waiting. Something is about to happen. Those of you that are waiting for that apartment to be like Cinderella's pumpkin. Just wait a while because something is about to happen. Everybody's still sitting on their seat. Yeah, because when I look back, everything that I wished for, it seemed like somewhere by and by, it's starting to come to pass. Yeah. I just want to canvas the house today and ask you a question. Did your address recently change? And did you not the house you're living in right now, where you live before you got there, do you remember waiting and saying, Lord, I need you to come on up in here. Come on, somebody. But God wanted you to know today that the next time I tap you on the shoulder and I tell you that I'm on my way, I want you to flip the switch from sight to faith and say, Lord, if you did that, come on, somebody feeling it right here. So when I look at the resurrection, you can go ahead and hate on me because I ain't halfway there. Because everything that my hope calls
causes to materialize by my faith. Oh, Lord. Then that means that everything that I put in my mind, oh, God, God has the ability to bring it to pass. So the next time you think that a wish is just some subjective, imaginative interpretation of some wish, I need you to know that God gives visions so you can look at somebody and say, where I am right now, I'm on my way somewhere. Oh, yes. And I need to talk to at least three people that ain't gonna wait until the battle is over. You're not gonna wait until God comes through. You're not gonna wait until God heals your body, but you're gonna stand up right now. The bell ain't over. I'm still in the challenge, but I'm gonna stand right here in the valley of life, and I'm gonna lift up my head unto the hills from which cometh my help. Oh, yes. I hear the organs now above my head. I hear the music in the air. Put me in E-flat, Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. And I'm going to ride right there. Oh, yes. And everything that's in my life is rooted in the resurrection. Do y'all hear me? And because Jesus, God raised him from the dead, I'm going to take that vision in my mind and I'm going to move it into a spiritual reality. Oh, yes. Somebody here today need to go back, and that vision that you put on the shelf, you need to pick it up and tell the devil, I came back to get my vision. My children are running rampant, acting unbehaved, but God told me, I'm going to give you a blessed seed. Now pick it up and look at your child and say, you may be running like a prodigal now, but if you knew what I knew, the God that I serve is going to lock you down and raise you up. Now look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, if you want to see the resurrection in full action, then look at me, because I've been through the storm and I've been through the rain. Come on, somebody, be a living testimony. I've had my ups and my downs, but I want to rest right here, Michael. Won't he bring you out? Oh, yes. Won't he pick you up? Oh, yes. And when you throw your hands up and say, Lord, I turn it over to you, won't he bring you? Won't he bring you? Oh, yes. So I want everybody right now to assume the position of surrender. Put them hands up and say, Lord, I surrender my all. I surrender what I think I am. I surrender what I think I got. I surrender who I think I know. I surrender where I think I live. I surrender where I think I drive. I surrender what my last name is. I surrender my education. I surrender my money, everything that I am. And I look at you and I say, because you raised Jesus from the dead, everything that I have, oh yes. Somebody say yes. Clap your hands. Come on, clap your hands. Oh, yes. So now all I've got to do is go to Calvary, and I've got to regroup. And when I come back, I can declare that if Jesus got up, then that means that I'm coming back. Now, what I need you to do is do a complete 360. Turn around. Oh, yes. Now, oh, shucks. You see, while you were turning around, God was working it out. And that's how life is. While you turning around like a dog chasing his tail, God says I'm working it out. Am I right about it? So every turn I take, he's working it out. Somebody say yes. And when you walk up into this church house, if anybody ought to be mad, it ain't nobody but the devil. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I see you going somewhere. I see you going somewhere. I see you going somewhere. When you walked in here today, that was a message to the devil that says to you that while you're fighting all of those demonic powers, the battle is rough on every front, but all you've got to do is keep on turning. And one of these turns, the songwriter said, he's gonna work it out in the midnight hour. Am I right about it? Oh yes. Now the devil is telling you today, I wish Jesus had just laid there and never got up. But because he got up, now there Don is thinking that God is going to raise him up. But you're too late. It's all over now, because I know that there is power in the resurrection. So now, when he got there, the word that happened in the tomb is a Greek word that means parla. And parla means, is there anything too hard for God? Am I right about it? So when God told Jesus to declare that 3 days you're going to take it up again, let me speak prophetic. You've got to have the faith to say with your mouth, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and stop saying, I feel like I'm dying, and put your hands on yourself and say, life is mine. Health is mine. Healing is mine. Come on, somebody. Put your hands on whatever in your life is messed up. Because he told Jesus, you tell them that no man takes my life, but I'm going to lay it down. And in 3 days, I'm going to take it up again. That's what I need you to do, is tell somebody when I give you a vision, this is how this is going to come out. Y'all don't hear me? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You've got to speak it with your mouth. Come on, somebody. Open your mouth. Start saying some stuff. Speak it like it's there. Speak it like it's there. Speak over your child. Speak over your home. Y'all ain't saying nothing. You want God to buy the meal, cook it, then spoon feed you. But you got to get up and open your mouth and say, Lord, I believe that I'm coming out of this. I believe that my child is coming out of this. Wave your hand in the air and tell the whole world, I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out of this. I'm coming out of this. It don't take faith for you to get on the other side of challenge and then start boasting and bragging, putting on all your gear like you did something. God said, I didn't ever ask you to do a thing. All I required of you is that you believe in me. Let me tell somebody something coming up for the rest of this year. You don't need no overtime. All you need is the power of the resurrection. God said, where was your overtime about this time last year? You better have held on to the job you got, because COVID
was taking everybody out. So why you didn't get no overtime with your health itself? How did you get to be so healthy and hold on? How is it that you didn't get no foreclosure, didn't get no car picked up? How did you make it? So if you did it, then you pat yourself on the back. But if it wasn't for the Lord that were on your side, come on, somebody, I need to move everybody in this house. Didn't he do it? Come on, somebody, say, didn't he do it? Oh, yes. And let me finish up like this, and I'm going to leave y'all alone. Oh, shucks, y'all. But let me tell you, somebody say, Don, how do you do it? I'm going to show you how. You see, yeah, some of y'all need to see it under the Christmas tree. Yes, but see, the power in the resurrection works like this. Come up here right quick, Jersey. Come on, baby. Come on. Come on up here with Pompey. You see, what God did was, he said, what I want to do is I want to make you a promise. Put that thing out there, baby. And put it out there. And I'm going to put this on you just like this. Wait a minute now. When he put that ring on that finger, I ain't said I do to nothing. I just put it there. So when she sees somebody that comes along that says you look good, I sure would like to get with you. All you gotta do is put that hand up so that they can see I got a promise. I don't need your money. And I don't need your last name, because I got a promise. And I need about four people in here right now to come on, put it on me. Come on and put it on me. Did he make you a promise? Come on, show me. I got it right here. I got that promise right here. Oh, yes. Thank you, baby. So now the promise is all that I need. So I don't have to see it to believe it, because I got a promise. And if he said he's going to do it, that's what he's going to do. So here goes Jesus. He lays down just like he said he would. Watch me, Michael. And when he laid it down, I can imagine that he said, I'll see y'all in 3 days. I'm going to do what I said that I was going to do. Am I right about it? And by the time his head hit the pillow, do y'all hear me? And that's called a cooling pillow. You gotta have that pillow to make the eyes go shut. So you gotta put your head all the way on the pillow. And I can hear Jesus saying, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. About that time, God shook all of heaven, came down and raised him up. Do y'all hear me? That's where the power is. The power ain't in dying. The power ain't in suffering. But the power is in the resurrection. I'm coming up. And when I stand up, I want everybody in this building to stand up with me as a representation of the power of God to bring you up. Everybody in this room, come on your feet. Now you want to know, I ask you the question, if nobody saw it, then how do you know it happened? I flipped the switch, and God told me last night, before I laid my head down to sleep, I prayed the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. He told me in an uncertain spirit, if they had have been there to see the resurrection, then they would have treated the resurrection just like they treating COVID. Everybody got an explanation. And if you can explain it, then that doesn't make it faith. That makes it science. Am I right about it? And the resurrection is not science. Tell your neighbor, it's by faith. By faith. Ah! finish. That's the part. And when God brings you up, see, when you get a job and you get a new one, people watch to see what you're going to do so they can make a record. Oh, they got that car because they got that job. They got that house because they got that. Oh, Cassie and them can do that because they got a daycare. Oh, they can do that because he went to the army. Oh, they can do that. That's scientific. If you can explain it, it's empirical. But when you can't explain it, it's faith. What did I just tell you? God gonna do it while everybody looking at you and they ain't gonna even see it happen. Right now, a whole lot of people still trying to figure out how you doing what you're doing. Because they saw you go through it. People keep asking me, how your sister doing? She well. Yeah, I know. She well. When you flip the switch, it don't make sense. When you flip the switch, Mike, it don't add up. My son told me, I don't know why y'all teach Mike, but Mike here, because I'm so glad. Mr. Hurt, I don't know how you do it. Mr. Hurt don't know how you do it either. Because if I could explain it, then it wouldn't be faith. Huh? Jesus. Regina, I don't know how you do it. So you now you know what to say. If I could explain it, it would be faith. Jesus. I don't know how you do it, mister. How you do it? If I could explain it, then it wouldn't be faith. Huh? You hear me, Nessa? Happy birthday, baby. If I could explain it, then it wouldn't be faith. Right now, I'm finished with y'all. Where you are, and I know y'all are some blessed folk in here. And I can tell you, there ain't nothing that you can put your hands on that you can say, this happened because I did this. Because all you have is just your faith. Nobody was there. All God wanted you to know is he died. Now, there's going to be something required on your part. He's coming back again. So the question is, do you believe? Huh? I ain't talking about that. Oh, yeah, I believe. I believe. I'm talking about do you believe? Huh? Oh, we got plenty of stimulus right now. We got plenty of PPP and PPE and P everything. We got a P for everything. Get paid. Pay, pay, pay. What you going to do when that's over, over, over? Y'all ain't seeing the fallout from the blast. They gave you that $1,100, but I bought a bag of chicken wings yesterday that cost me $20. That used to be $12. Don't buy no meat. You better eat some peanut butter and jelly. Y'all ain't been to the grocery store lately. Huh? They stimulated you. And that while they was hitting you on this end, they were already waiting on you on the other end. But somebody here say, you can do what you want to do. Because I got to where I am not based on your incentives. I didn't get here based on your stimuluses. I didn't get here based on none of that. I'm talking to some people that just don't buy cars at income tax time. They get vehicles because the Lord sees a need in their life and he fills it. don't have to wait till something. I just say, Lord, there's a need. I hope y'all were blessed today. God can raise him up. Where does it apply in your everyday life? It applies every time I have a challenge. That's where the resurrection lies. Every challenge that sticks its little ugly head up. Here comes the what? Power of the resurrection. Huh? Are you going to need it on Monday? You going to need it Tuesday? Wednesday? Thursday? Friday? Every day. You're going to need the power. Come on now, just plead that over your life as we get ready to leave here. Plead that over your life. Lord, there is power. Come on, in the resurrection. Speak it over yourself. Speak it over your family. Your blood, your shed blood, God. You getting up. Come on, just go ahead and open your mouth right now before we leave this place. I know we're going to go and we're going to have family. We're going to have the enjoyment of everybody. But I want you to leave here with a sincere praise on your lips and in your mind, saturating your hearts that God, it is because of the power that is in your resurrection. Right now, Lord, I declare that over my life. And as I need it, as I go forward, as I heard declared in the gospel according to Romans today, Abraham became the father of our faith for his seed and his seed and his seeds to come. And he is the father. And I am that seed right now because I am God, a person of faith. I am a person of faith. And I believe it right now. Somebody that is listening in on this message today by way of virtual church, you needed this. Yes, you needed this. You had to have this because you have got to let the power of God rest where it is right now. You don't need God's power. You need faith. What you do is when you have the faith, God's power has already done it. All you need is the faith to see that it is done. Because he said, while you speak, I hear you. And before you ask, I've already answered. So you don't have to wait for the power of God. All you've got to do is have faith. And then the power of God will reveal itself in your situation. God bless you. I love you. I look forward to seeing you next week here as you come to us by virtual church, to those that are here in the sanctuary, and as we're leaving and we're leaving now our Sunday service. I want you all to just
hide me from the rain.
Be blessed by your presence.
Come on, our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Give strength where I've been weak.
Forever
he'll reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know he's awesome, say it. Come on and lift your voice. Savior of the whole world.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes, I'm healed.
My God is awesome.
Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it.
Awesome.
Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice.
Awesome.
There's a praise on the inside that I can't keep to myself. A holler stirring up from the depths of my soul. So excuse me if I seem a little giddy or maybe even strange, but praise is the way I say. So bubbly on the inside, I just wanna holler it out. Come on.
There's a praise on the inside that I can't keep to myself.
A holler,
hollers are enough from the depths of my soul. So excuse me if I seem a little giddy, or maybe even strange.
Hallelujah.
Praise is the way I say.
Now this is what I want you to do with that praise. Let it bring.
Let it bring. For the sound
from your voice.
From my heart. Feel the gladness.
Ooh, oh.
All ye lands.
Make some
make
noise.
The joy fall on.
Oh, come on, everybody. Come on. Listen, listen, listen.
Let the songs of David live forever.
Oh, yes. Why? Why? Because praise is the way
I say thanks.
Your hands
that
to God.
I can't keep to myself.
Oh, you ain't praised him until it
from
came from your belly.
Of my